Quiero nueve vidas, yo quiero nueve vidas. Para martes y anoche, yo quiero nueve vidas. Si un gato puede tenerlas, yo también quiero vivirlas. La vida es muy corta, yo quiero que me den más. Yo quiero que me den men, yo quiero que me den más. Voy más y más, yo quiero que me den más. ¿Qué coño saco yo?
Okay, we're back live on Kill Radio here on this beautiful, beautiful rainy Friday afternoon. I love winters in LA, I love the rain. I love it, I hate the summer out here. It's too hot, I love it in the winter. And this is killradio.org, Friday news, 6 p.m. news. We do the news here every Monday. We do the news here every Monday through Friday. And again, we have no engineer, so I'm sorry for, I got to repeat everything I just said because I had music too loud. Again, this is killradio.org, internet only. Give us a call, 213-252-0998. And today we have two local artists from the east side of Hollywood area. Caroline and Zachary, and Caroline will be interviewing Zach. Zach's a good friend of mine, really, really talented bro. So you guys buy his shit because he's too, really talented. But before they come on the air, wait a minute, I was going to something happened today because this is the news. This is everybody. Don't forget to call your senator and tell him to support Feingold, because you know Feingold wants to censor the president. The Wisconsin senator, he's the only one that has the gonads to put a censor through to get rid of Bush. So call your congress people tomorrow and call your senators to tell them to back Russell Feingold and his censor of Bush. So I guess that's all the news I have for today. And like I said, we're going to get into this interview with Zachary. But first, we're going to talk to the young man who brought Zachary and Caroline to us, who's a good friend of mine I've known for years from the old Beatnik East Hollywood days, and his name is Dan, who's brought all these talented people together for this show here. And Dan, would you tell us what your, how long you're an OG in this neighborhood? You got to put it real close.
I have a green microphone in front of me, and it's green because this is St. Patrick's Day.
We have
all the elves in the studio today, and we're going to bring you a very outstanding show today because of the little elves.
Do you have any people out there in the world, Dan, who you want to say St. Patrick's Day to? Or? Like, I know your mom's up north. And
send a shout-out to all the peeps on Vermont in Silver Lake and the area.
And our friend Larry and Lee.
Oh, that's good. That's good also.
Lee the chess player. And Dan, I hope, you know, this is the first show that you produce here at Kill Radio, and I hope you do more and keep bringing talented people back to the studio, like Zachariah here.
This could be a regular thing.
Well, no, I didn't say all that, Dan.
Yes, you did. We have it on tape now.
Well, oh, my goodness. That's right. I do want Dan to come back.
And tape is better than writing.
Well, actually, it's not tape. It's archive.
That's even better.
I know. I do want Dan to come back in about a month or two and bring in another local artist, because this is a local station and we need to do more local stuff here. And with that being said, Dan, let's turn the mic over to Caroline and
Carolina, and please.
Carolina. Well, I think Carolina has her own mic, so I'll give Zach a mic and they can take it over. And here you go, guys, on killradio.org, internet only.
Bringing to you Carolina and Zach Sophia.
Hello. So I find myself sitting with Dan, sitting with Zachary, and I had totally forgotten that it's St. Patty's Day, so happy St. Patty's Day to all of y'all out there. I'm going to start off asking Zach a couple of questions so you guys get to know him a little bit before I catch him off guard and make him laugh. Make us all laugh in here. So, Zach, how long have you been drawing and painting?
Well, actually, it's Zachary. I've been drawing since I was about 6 or 7, and I just I always had my own thing going, my own style.
Since childhood, you feel like you already had a style.
Right, because I never knew how to really draw, so I just drew my way, and I thought that was the appropriate way to draw.
Nice. And you are from Ohio. Tell me a little bit about Ohio and how you grew up and how you feel about Ohio and if it kind of manifests itself in your
artwork. Ohio a red state or a blue state?
It is a red state. It is the reason why we lost the election. But Anyways, well, it's hard to speak about Ohio and really speak about Ohio, and I say that because it depends really on where you grow up and what kind of family environment. And I happen to grow up in a conservative family, so my point of view is kind of skewed because it's actually kind of a liberal type of city, but I wouldn't have experienced that. I grew up my dad was a foreigner. He was from Syria. My mom was from North Carolina. And so I didn't think it was a good mix, but that's none of my business. But I was raised very conservatively, and it's hard to think of Ohio and not think of the way I was raised. I was raised to be very conservative and very, you know, not what I am today. Let's just say that. And so I have a hard time now being accepted in the family as for being who I am and being an artist. So, but I do have some fond memories, but I sometimes think they're false memories.
Okay. Do you think that duality plays out a little bit in how you draw, how you paint, and in your artwork?
I think it has a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm. So we'll move on to what inspires you.
Well, as a kid, I've always been inspired by, and you know, this might sound a little gay, but you
know, but it's not.
The male body, the male physique. I was always like, I didn't know what it was as a kid, but I was always inspired by this, and just the way the guys are built physically, I just thought it was really attractive, and that's what inspires me. And things that, you know, stood out, freaky things, like piercings, stuff like that. Anything abnormal. I didn't know that's what it was called, and it's just what I liked. I didn't really think about it. I just drew it. And it's funny how it was accepted as a kid. No one really said that's edgy, and now they're saying that, and it's just like, I've been drawing this way since I was six, so what's changed? But I guess you don't want to tell a kid, well, that's kind of edgy, but whatever.
So the male figure has always played out in your drawings and your paintings. I've noticed that.
Yeah.
And so it's always males. Why just males?
Well, I don't know if it has something to do with, like...
Your sexuality, maybe your... what you like, what you're attracted to. Explain, go a little bit deeper with
me. I think the male physique is even... The whole sexual issue, I think it's more than just being gay. I mean, I happen to be bi, but it's more than that. It's like the love of the male's physique. It's what it's really about. And it's just like, I knew that I liked that before I knew what to call that. And I don't even think it has to do with being gay, but it's just that I enjoyed the physique. And I don't know if it had to do with me. I was a very skinny kid, and physically development issues with my body. I was always skinny. I didn't seem to... grow the muscles that most young men had, and I don't know if it was the lack of that it was attracted me towards it, and I felt somewhat, you know, not compensated for that, you know, like missing something. I don't know if that's why, but it was definitely an attraction. I haven't really figured that out yet.
Okay, and did you go to art school? You're self-taught? I actually don't even know that, and I'm your friend, so
yeah.
Go into
that.
It. No, I didn't. I actually don't.
Yes, I'm self-taught. I mean, I do go to Barnsdale, which is a local community school here, but it's basically a self-taught class that I'm taking. But the way to sum that up is the best way I know. I remember in third grade, I had a teacher, her name was Mrs. Young, and I just remember I thought I was drawing really well, and I was the only student in that class that really liked to draw, and I remember her saying, like in front of all the other kids, it's like, oh, this isn't how you're supposed to draw, the head's too big. And, like, I kept drawing, though. It offended me. But that's just, you know, I thought that was normal. And now people call it a style. But it's just, like, it's how I draw. It's how I learned to draw.
Okay, so you didn't go. You were not taught.
No, I was not taught.
And you find that now it's become a style.
Right. I mean, I
your style of drawing has become actually pretty popular. Is that what you're thinking? Or?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Or people, yeah, it's definitely identifiable. That's for sure.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I just remember drawing, like, any free time I had. I would just sit there and draw. That's all I would do, was sit there and draw. I remember sitting in my dad's office. You know, he was, like, on the 30th floor, and he would take me there on Saturdays, and that was one of the fond memories I have. And he would just let me sit there and draw, and I was very accepted then that to draw as an artist. You know, it was an accepted thing. Now it's more of a controversial thing, and I haven't quite figured that out, but at least it was accepted then.
Do you work out issues? Is it somewhat therapeutic for you to draw, to doodle, to do what you do?
Oh, I think I would be dead a long time ago if I couldn't draw. It's my only real escape. It's the only thing that I can say, this is mine. Yeah, I mean, I do, and I won't lie, I do take my drawings from real life, from photos, but they come out so different that people don't know they're from photos. Yeah,
they do, because I've seen the photos that you are inspired by, and even though that there's aesthetically a little bit of that, you really turn it and you make it your own, and it's always really gratifying to see that, so it's nice.
Thank you.
Yeah. They're telling me to get the mic a little closer. I think I'm a little mic shy. I'm like a little mic shy here. And is there any storytelling in your artwork?
Yeah, I seem to have an undeveloped sense of my childhood and the development of who I am now as far as being a grown-up or, let's say, manhood. And so I think it definitely goes there in my storytelling and my paintings. There's little objects there and stuff of how I feel about today that are in there if you look for them. But only I would know what they symbolize. You'd have to ask me. You couldn't be able to figure it out on your own.
Yeah, I was always drawn to your stuff because it seems to have a lot of life. Like, the lines have a lot of life. One line moves and comes back, and then you have all these brush strokes and all these different things going on. But I remember at your last art show, I actually sat there, and I asked you to go through them and explain to me, you know, the different male figures that are in there. What I found very interesting were the clocks. So explain that.
Well, the clocks have...
And take your time. Take your time.
Well, the clocks have to do with my past and with, you know, with how I feel today. And I remember, like, 4 years ago, I was sitting in my crummy apartment on Santa Monica and Wilton, and I had this crappy, like, $10 clock I got from, it wasn't even Rite Aid, it was probably a dollar store. I just remember it ticking really loud, and I really liked that. But I feel like I'm still that kid, and I like it was yesterday, and I don't feel like I ever really grew up, like something happened, and I just, I don't know, I feel like time is all I really have, and this is going to sound grandiose, but I don't feel like I have a whole lot, you know, much more time, and I'm only 26. I know that sounds kind of bizarre, but I really feel that way. I feel time is always running out, and so I'm going to try to do as much as I can before it does run out.
There's a certain pressure to create because you feel like maybe you're not going to be around, or what's going on?
I don't know. I mean, I don't think anybody really knows how long they're going to live, and I know that people who think like that, from what I've read, and I don't mean to sound grandiose again, but they don't last much, maybe 10, 15 years. When they start to think that in their mind, usually people who are like around 50 or 60 start thinking like this, and I'm thinking this at 26. I don't know if it means anything, but I just feel like it's not just my art, but it's everything. Like, everything counts in my life because I don't know, you know, when it's going to end, and I want to make as much as noise as I can while I'm alive.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, so that's what I feel like I'm trying to do. I want people to know, hey, I existed. I'm, you know, I wasn't just some face. I was somebody. I did something, or I inspired somebody, and not just like one or two, but lots of people. But that's what I would like to accomplish. I haven't done that yet, but that's my aim in life.
Wow, I like that. I have never gotten that from you. Well, and we hang out.
It's well, because, you know, I think people would make fun of it. Because
why?
Because I do tell a few people, and it's actually my partner. He's not the best audience for that. And, you know, they ridiculate me because
of it. He's got
his
good qualities, too. Come on.
He's got what?
His good qualities, too. You should give him a shout-out.
He does, but, you know, people think you're grandiose when you say this, so you keep your secrets. It's but I guess I'm on the air now. It's all out. But I don't know how many people are listening, but I guess they can.
I think all great artists have that. Time waits for no one. And I think it's really important. And especially if you're creating like that, you feel like it's okay. Time waits for no one. I'm going to create. And someday when I'm not here, my artwork will define me, will say something, you know? Does that make sense?
It does. But I think my artwork means almost everything to me. But I feel like it's more than just my artwork. I feel like I'll be doing something else as well, and I don't know what that is. I have an idea, but I don't know exactly, but I feel like it'll have some big impact.
Yeah. Do you ever feel like when you're drawing, you get in that zone where it almost becomes spiritual?
I would say it was all spiritual, really.
Always.
Because it's mine, you know.
When you get in that zone, you know what zone I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's spiritual. I mean, yes, I would agree with that.
Okay. Would you say you had, we're going from the spiritual to childhood here. I think now I'm getting a little too personal. I don't know. No, it's fine. Would you say you had a happy childhood?
I would say no, and I would say yes. I would say a lot of my problems, not all my problems, are because of the way that I grew up and because my family was not accepting about much other than their lifestyle, and they don't approve of too many other lifestyles. And I think as an artist, you explore the weird and the unusual. And I think they saw me that in a young age and tried to stuff that. And now I have issues because of that. I believe, because I went to boarding school, I've been away since I was 16. And, I did come from an abusive family. And when I come back and visit them, I see where it could have had where that harmful impact came from. I mean, I don't mean to point fingers, but I just feel like we weren't meant for each other.
I know you have brothers and sisters. Are they artists as well? What have they done with their lives?
Well, my sister works for the Governor Taft. I believe he's a Republican governor.
Wow, interesting.
I believe it's interesting, too, because they know that this governor is corrupt. I mean, because she works for him. She's got the facts. But she acts like it's, appropriate. Like, it's okay to be working for him,
It's a job.
Right, but there's nothing wrong with that, but that's none of my business. I don't tell her, because she's my sister, and I leave politics away when I come to my family. My brother is a banker, which my father is, and it's really bizarre because people talk about my brother like they used to talk about my dad and still talk about my dad. Oh, he knows numbers. He's great with investments. But then that's it. When they talk about anything else, he's not there. Or they don't say it, but that pretty much means that's what they mean. And that's scary to me because he didn't used to be like that. And I see it as a bad thing. But I grew up with this guy in my same room for 16 years, and it's like we don't even know each other. It's like, what's going on here, dude? And he can't even talk to me about it. It's just, I find it upset because we're twins. We were in the same womb together, and I feel like we're aliens.
I know. Yeah. I remember when you told me that you had a twin brother, I found it really astounding that you guys were not connected, because you always hear this connection between twins. And it was pretty amazing to me when you were describing your relationship. I just couldn't believe it, because I met you and it was instantaneous. Our friendship just grew like nonstop. And I just found it really interesting that you might have a twin brother that you're not connected with, because you're such a warm person. Anyways, that's another story altogether.
I think that scares him, though. It would scare most bankers. They don't know how to deal with that.
Have they ever seen your artwork, your family?
Have they
been to an art show?
They've been invited, but they've seen it as a young kid, and they always knew that I would be an artist. Some maybe big, they thought, but they don't seem to have much opinion on it these days, because we have other issues to work out.
Right. So what is your general audience? Who are the people that like your art? Who's the people that buy your art?
Well, it's hard to get a crowd going or people buying my art. I know people who like my art or like me alternative looking, piercings, gothy. And I think the people who buy my art are not necessarily those same people. And I don't know if it's a money thing or what it is, or older people have money probably. But it's definitely people who are... most of them are gay, most of them are, but they're very, have unusual taste, they're eccentric, who like my art, and some of them just are normal people, but looking for that edgy type of art.
Would you describe your artwork as dark?
I wouldn't, but a lot of people would.
Right.
So it's, it actually pisses me off, because... to me, art is art, and then you're going to put a freaking label on it. There's 5 million different labels for what I do, and so I'm confused of what it is. But I don't consider it dark, but if people saw it, they would consider it dark, yes.
Do you think it has to do with the brushstrokes? Do you think it's subject matter? What is it that you think that other people consider dark? I think I did too at the beginning. When I would look at them, I was just like, oh. And then I started looking beyond all that. And there's a lot of childness in it too. I don't know if it's the sexuality or sex. You tend to be very childlike sometimes.
I don't know if that's a compliment or not.
It is. I always compliment you, fool.
It's my stuff. What makes it dark? Well, I think it's the subject matter. I definitely think it's the colors. It's the fact that these people are gothy people. A lot of people don't understand that. Some of the people I draw are go-go dancers or people who wear types of costumes. So they're meant to look scary, but they're really not, because I find these people beautiful. And so they mistake it for trying to be serious. And they, you know, they don't know what... They don't find it beautiful, but it's what I find beautiful. You know, I don't find flowers beautiful, but I find this beautiful. It's all your perception. You know, I think these people are gorgeous, but, you know, a lot of people think we're freaks, so...
You gotta sit still. You're squeaking the chair too much.
All right.
Not in the mic.
Yeah, there's one gentleman that keeps on popping up in your paintings a lot. That one guy.
Which one is that?
You know which one I'm talking about.
The green guy, the green contacts?
Yes. Is it somebody you know, or is it somebody you've, like, I don't know, sometimes I talk...
It's someone I've talked to maybe twice through the internet, and I don't want to relieve my source for my own reasons, because I don't want that source to dry up. He seems to be okay with me. He's communicating he's okay with me drawing and painting this person. And so it seems to be all right, but it's... Someone I find very attractive, but not so much in a sexual way, more just I find him beautiful, and it seems like this person's having some issues right now, and I don't know what's going on over here.
It's no, I'm not
distracting
looking.
Me.
I'm sorry, keep going. Yeah. Keep going. This is engineer talk.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm doing something wrong here, but
you guys are great.
Okay,
but this I find this person very beautiful. He's really, I don't know what attracts me about him, but there's just something very mysterious about him, and I just like the way he physically looks, yeah.
Yeah, he's very different. He's got beautiful lines, right?
Yeah.
No, because at first I remember just being, I had to sit there and actually look a couple of times, and then I found him myself kind of attractive. And his lines are really interesting.
Right.
He's got really strong features, right?
Yeah, well, it's funny, no one's ever asked me that question, but he's probably the most... person appeared in my paintings. I mean, now I will say this, and I'm hesitant to say it because it could come out wrong, but I guess I'll just say it. It's like when you're drawing someone, it's like you're making love, like when you play piano, you're making love to the piano, so it's not a sexual thing. I want people to get that out of their mind. It's not I'm not sexually obsessed with this guy, but it's like... You're making love to that person when you study them and you draw from their photos all the time. It's like you're in them, you're in their head, and you're so used to drawing them. So when you actually talk to the person or even email them, it's really bizarre because you've been focused on this guy like 24/7. You know, it's just like, you know, it's what.
Well, it's a study.
Yeah, it's a study, and it's like it's just really beautiful. You know, it's like an act of love if there ever was one. It's really an act.
It's nice. So going on to other things that you do, you also have a line of clothing. You do bags also. So just go into that a little bit more. Well, you haven't even touched that. I'm asking you now. So just go into it.
I do have bags, and I do have clothes. I still have them. If anybody wants them, I have them in one store called The Cosmo Show on Melrose. And it's about Gardner. You can find them online at cosmoshow.com. But I've stepped away a little bit from that because I don't know where I want to go with that. I had a potential deal with a company that who would have almost got me into Hot Topic. I don't want to relieve their name because I don't want to give them slander. But the deal didn't go. It went wrong for whatever reason. So I don't know. I might go to Hot Topic. I might have a chance to get in. People say I do, but. I'm confused of whether if I want to stay a fine artist or you know, commercial artist, or do both. And it seems like a lot to do both because I'm kind of broke right now. But if anybody wants to know, I have a website, Zack Attack, Z A C K attac.com. You've got to put in the address. You can't put a search engine. For some reason, it's not registering under a search engine, so you've got to put in the address.
Say it again.
ZackAttack.com, ZackAttac.com. If you want to contact me about it, you can call me at 323-660-2711, and I'd be happy to get an order up for you. I got three different variety images on my T-shirts and bags, and then I have a variety bag where you have all three images on it. And they're actually printed on the bag now rather than patches. We used to do the patches sewed on the bag, but now we do just the image. And they're messenger bags.
And who did your website?
Dan did it here, sitting here. And I'd be happy, I'm sure, to do other websites. He's like my PR person. He got me this radio show.
He had a
show.
Good one.
I didn't know I was doing this radio show, and I thought he was just joking about it.
I know, and you guys all of a sudden start calling me and ask me to interview
you.
No,
he asked you, and he's like, oh, I'm going to ask Caroline. He told me to ask you. I was kind of frightened to ask you, because you know how you get.
Why? What do you mean, how I get? What
you
does
know,
that mean?
If you don't want to do something, or if you're in a bad mood or busy, you know.
Yeah, this is not about me. So we're going to ask you other questions here. We're going to be a little more humorous, I think. Yeah?
Right.
I have a couple of questions myself. What do you most dislike in people?
I'm no saint in this respect, but I think the modern age is a really bad age in the world that we live in, with internet, the cell phones,
Hallelujah.
It irritates the... Can I swear here?
It's internet radio. You can do whatever you want.
Sweet.
It irritates fuck out of me. But what bothers me is that people want to email
this
you.
This is not the FCC. This is internet. You can say anything.
Go on.
But, you know, people don't know how to communicate, and their word doesn't mean shit. And, yes, I'm bad at my words sometimes, but it bothers me when someone says something, or you're not supposed to keep confrontation person. You're supposed to be tactful about... If you don't like someone, or if you don't want to put up their arch, why can't they just say no? You're not hurting my feelings. Just say fucking no, and that's fine. I'll move on. It's like I'm having that problem in L.A. Some people are really good about it. It's just like, you know, that's what you do. You keep bugging these people until they say no or they say yes. And they tell me to come there at 1 o'clock. I feel like that's an appointment. So I come up there, and they forget they even asked me to come up there. And it's like, what is that all about? I take my time out of the day to come meet you. Like, that's how you're supposed to run in business. You know, the way I run is, if I want something, I go to the store, or I go down, I don't phone call you. You know what I mean? People are like, well, you should schedule an appointment. And it's like, people wait around for the appointment, you're never going to get in the freaking door. You got to face-to-face. And I'm sorry if it makes you uncomfortable, but you can get over it. Because we've been doing this communications for thousands of years. And for the last 100 years, we've had telephones. And maybe the last 20 years we have internet, and then we act like we can't even communicate to each other. Like, you know, we don't know how. We're retarded or something. Okay, I ranted, but that's all I had to say about that.
No, seriously, I think it's important to remember that. Mean what you say and say what you mean.
Yeah, and I don't always do it, but I try. It really means a lot to me, because if you don't have your word, what do you have then?
You're pretty direct.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's
why you and
I get along pretty well. We call each other out a lot, I think, right?
I think so, yeah.
Uh-huh. Let me see what else. Which talent would you most like to have, my friend Zachary?
That I don't have?
Yes.
Or?
Do you want to fly? What do you want to do? No, joking.
I don't know. Sometimes I wish I could be more organized and neat and everything. But if I was like that, I wouldn't have anything that I had now. So I don't know. But I think... just to be able to, maybe if I could just talk better, but I don't know.
Talk better? What do you mean by talking better? Just, eloquence or?
No, not even that. Just being able to, you know, talk my way through anything. You know what I mean? Like, some people can really sell stuff, just to be able to sell anything you want.
Oh, yeah. I would like to have that one, too. I'm really bad about that.
I'm okay. I wouldn't say anything
I think
special.
You're pretty professional.
You think
about
so?
It? Yes. I find it that you take what you do very seriously. I actually had a conversation with my friend Nick Gallo. I have to shout out Blue Rooster Art Supply Store on Vermont, which is where I work. Great people. Nick Gallo is a great boss. That's where me and Zachary met. And we were talking about that, how professional you are and how seriously you take the role of being an artist. I have a hard time saying I'm an artist. You don't play around. You live it. And you say it with a lot of confidence. So I don't that talent. Yeah. I don't know. I think you're pretty good at selling yourself.
Well, it's always nice to want something more, though.
Yeah, I can understand that.
And I think I also, you know, I wish this is going to sound bizarre, like totally. But you say if I could have one wish that I don't have, it's I think I'm ashamed of my heritage. I hate to say that, being Middle Eastern, and I always, you know, say I have problems with Caucasians. But I think what I really want, because you know, everyone was Caucasian around me, is to be Caucasian looking. I just, I don't think I'm beautiful or pretty or even handsome or anything. I feel like I want to look like that. That would be really nice. But you know, I don't think that's ever going to happen unless I get plastic surgery, and I would never do plastic surgery.
So we're getting serious here. We're going from like your the talent that you wish you had to identity issues.
Well, I have lots of identity
issues. 5 seconds.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I kind of just like ranted.
No, it's good.
Would you like me to continue?
We've talked about this before, you know, and it's so different from where I come from, you know, and how I feel about identity. And when we discussed this a lot, we were discussing it in the car. Aesthetics, personal aesthetics, piercings, tattoos, and such, you know. With that said, what would you think would be that one characteristic, like physical characteristic that you like the most of yourself?
I love the piercings, but unfortunately, I think I'm going to have to go bye-bye for a while. I did this deal with my parents where I'm 26 years old, but I needed some money for some medical reasons, and it's part of the deal.
Explain that. Go into it.
Well, as a kid, I don't know if this is just an artist thing or if it's just, you know, rich parents don't know how to handle their kids or both, or maybe there was some kind of
just the way it is, I think.
Deficiency inside me. I think it was a little all three. But I was put on amphetamines, and that's exactly what they are. They'll tell you that in the pill bottles, which, you know, amphetamines we know are illegal, but somehow we can give them to kids. But anyways, I was on them since I was 6 years old till I was 24. I've been only off them for 2 years.
And are they still in your system?
Yes, they're still in my system. And I have migraines every day now because of a certain drug called Lexapro, and I can't sue. I don't have a class action suit or anything. And my brain still thinks it's on them, and what I have to do is there's this one procedure that I know of. It's called the purification program. Yes, it is used by many Scientologists, but it's also used by other medical doctors. It's a detox. It's pretty solid. The actual I don't know about the Scientologists, but the actual detox procedure is a solid procedure, and I had to go home and ask money for this. It's kind of tough because I was disowned for being homosexual 2 years ago, and to say, "Hey, I need money for this detox." I know you guys told me to leave your house 2 years ago, and I don't really like you guys, but you know, I still love you, and if you could help me, I would really appreciate it. And you know, and then to take out the piercings because they don't like the way they look, and they want to justify that. It's like, you know, they have all this power, and I got to get down on my knees. It doesn't seem right because I feel like I've been doing that my whole life.
And you find this about yourself very beautiful. You love piercing. So you, in order to become healthy, you have to take away something that you find is pretty beautiful.
Right. And I'm confused with my identity because I don't know. I've never been happy with me because I've always, when I was skinny, I wanted to be physically built.
Wasn't your brother a little more built?
Yeah, he was a beautiful guy. He was built, and then he drank too many beers, and I don't know. I think he's got a drinking problem.
So, Zach, you have piercings?
I do. They're 3/4. They're stretched. The holes are in there, but I cracked the one of them today, the clear thing on the – I guess it's a sign or something on the bathroom floor. And the other ones I left at my parents' house, my plugs, to show them, hey – like I said, my word means more than my piercings, and I said I'd take them out, and even though I think it's fucking ridiculous that I have to do this, it's like, I'm going to do it because I said I'm going to do it, and that way it puts pressure on them to do what they do, because then I got them in a little baggie, they had to look at it. They probably threw that fucker away.
So sitting here, they're not even noticeable, so where do you have piercings at?
They are noticeable, they're in my ears, and they're flopping around, you jerk.
What's that thing over your eye?
That's an eyebrow piercing.
Do you have a tattoo? Do you have any tattoos?
No, I have tattoos. That was the next step, but I guess I won't be going there anytime soon.
But how about your hair? I think you have to do something to your hair, too. What's going on with your hair?
Well, it's only dyed black. I got to, you know, just let it run and just dye out because they don't want that either. But I used to have these piercings that are in my eyebrow. I used to have them in my mouth. There were fangs, and it just freaked people out because they asked retarded questions like, was I born with that?
Yeah, the fangs.
Yeah, yeah, the fangs. They were definitely cool. But I don't think Carolina liked those at all. She thought they were kind of...
He's always assuming. He doesn't ask me anything.
You did. You set out. You said it was too much.
They were a little different, yes. But, and you were known as a guy with the fangs in our neighborhood, right?
Right.
The only guy with the fangs.
Right.
And then you only had one fang. And I said that if you're only going to have one fang,
you might as well take it out.
Yes.
What? Yeah, I have a problem with infections and stuff. So,
oh, yeah. Like in your mouth.
Yeah. Fine. And I'm sure people are thinking of the obvious questions. And I did some of those, yes, but I didn't do the other one. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. I don't.
go
I'm on the edge now. You guys can't.
I never gave any blowjobs with those piercings, but yes, people asked me. Yes, they would hit on me. Yes, they wanted me to use those fangs on them, but I never had the opportunity.
Wow, yeah, I don't think I knew that either. I'm like, whoa, I'm going back. He's pretty honest, guys. You have no idea. You ask him a question, he's not going to like be tactful or worry if he's hurting your feelings or worry if he's going to freak you out. He'll just say it.
Yeah.
The door's locked. There's no getting out of here.
Yeah.
True.
I would make out with people, though, yes.
Oh, that's
It was
true.
All right. It was a little bizarre.
Oh, with the fangs?
Yeah, you'd wake up and you had this metal in your mouth. It's like, where did it? Oh, yeah, I put this in my mouth. That's how I got there.
Wow. Okay, so going back to your artwork, do you have any shows coming up soon? I thought you did. You did.
I do. Yeah. I have one show at my friend Stephen May's loft. I think it's 215 7th Street. Anyways, it's 1001. And you can look him up, a Stephen May realtor. I have a show coming up at, for those of you who are local in L.A., it's called The Coffee Table. On Rowena and is that Rowena and Hyperion? Well, it's a little down from Hyperion, but it's Rowena. It's a big
East Side Hollywood.
Yeah, it's a big Silver Lake. It's a big venue for me because you can sell your works, you know, for what I you know about $1,000, and you can get it, and you know, people have money, seem to have.
I know the owner there. Mike has great shows. He has great shows there.
Well, I'm glad that he thought my art was worthy of that, and then I might have some other shows coming up. So. What else do I have coming up? I might have some with another known artist, Icarus, at the Creative Grounds, where I had a show with Carolina. So maybe in August I'll have that show. And I might have, again, my regular shows at The Hive and Cannibal Flower, who actually, I think they had a DJ there, did a show there with Kill Radio, the last show.
And I know that you're working on new stuff as well. Or did I push you into working on new
stuff? I was working on new stuff, a little bit of both. I got a studio now, 1839 May. I don't know why I'm giving the address. But
I know.
It's not like anybody's going to stop and say, hey, you know.
Oh, they might. They might bring you coffee or bring you something to eat.
Anyway, they yell at me and say.
Artists forget to eat when they're working.
Especially when they're raised on amphetamines, yeah.
True.
You know.
Well, I wouldn't know about that.
Yeah,
but
that's why I only weigh 139 pounds. I forget to eat.
You do.
Yeah.
I know, because I'll ask you, did you eat today? What have you done today? And you're just like, I don't know, I haven't eaten today. And then we go and get french fries. So what's your current state of mind, Mr. Zachary?
I would say there's like 5% that's peaceful, and I'd say 95% like is like, I'm so fucked right now, you know? And I think I've been like that for the last 3 years, because I tend to be... Well, I think we all do, who are artists, tend to do our art when our life is really shitty. And I started doing this art when my life got really shitty. And it was the only thing, relief. Because I think if I had my choice, I hate to say this, yes, my art's, I love my art and it's my escape. But if I had a choice, I don't think I'd be an artist, or I don't think I would be doing my art if I was well, because I could do other stuff.
Really?
Yeah, I really believe that. But I don't know. I've never been well in my life. But I've been weller than I am now.
We shall see after you go through this detox what happens. What would you be doing if you weren't doing what you're doing now and you were feeling better? And
I think I would be, I think I would be a strong advocate against drugs. I think that when I say against drugs, I'm not talking about crack. There are more lethal drugs out there,
yes.
And we're giving them to our kids. And people's excuses, well, if they need them. And it's like, you know what?
It's about lifestyle.
It's like, fuck you, you know what I mean? It's like... If you were looking for a cure, you wouldn't need that. You know, why we have these kids with ADD? Well, gee, we'd give them sugar, we'd give them all this soda that they didn't have in the 1950s. They had a little bit. And you wonder how these kids are ADD. And then you're giving them mercury and their vaccines, and they have autism and ADD. It's like, you know what? You probably have the cure, and you could be doing that instead of giving these people these drugs. And now we're going to have these, we have this, you know, generation of drug addicts who were raised on Ritalin, I'm not, but now they're on Crystal, and they're tweakers, and we don't give a shit. And that's why we have 30,000 people homeless in Los Angeles, because we don't give a shit. In another 100 years, that's going to be like, you know, a million people in Skid Row. Oh, sorry. And, you know, it just pisses me off.
So what would you say? Do you have a motto? What would you say your motto is?
I don't know if I have a motto. I just like, if I could just make as much noise as I can in this life and like just keep my word and just do what I say or try to do as much as do as what I say, then I think I'll be all right. No matter what happens, I think I'll get through it if I just keep trying and I don't give up.
Making noise.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the whole time issue?
Yeah, I have 3 pocket watches and I'm always looking at it like every 5 minutes.
Oh, and you do.
You know the Egyptians said, right, that they're going to live on this earth in houses that are built for 50 years, but they're going to live after they die in houses that are built for 500 years. Is that the type of thing you're talking about?
I never knew anything about that, but I feel like it's the only higher power that I have, because we all know time exists. When we're all going to get old. I don't actually want to get old. I want to die about 33, 34. But
oh, wow. That's my age.
Yeah.
Yeah, be careful when you're walking out of the studio, Carolina.
I know.
Why should she be careful?
Because.
Huh? Oh, if she's going to die or something?
Let's not go there, guys.
Like a brick's going to fall on her head or something?
Talking about death.
I hope I don't sound like a weirdo. I already passed that point.
Yeah.
No, thanks.
Since we're talking about death, how would you like to die and where?
I want to die maybe... I've never been in New York, so I can't really say that, but I want to die on a busy street doing something... making noise, you know what I mean? That's how I want to die.
But if you could take a vacation and then die when you got there, where would you go?
I don't want to take a vacation, though.
No vacation?
No vacation.
Could you go to Florida and die there?
I could, but I don't... I want to die... You know, I want to... I'm one of those people who want to do something that will... I don't want to say piss people off, but... You know, I want to die for something I believe in, and I don't want to die old somewhere... You know, I saw my grandfather, you know, just whittle away and lose his mind slowly. I don't want to go that way.
I just want to butt in for 1 second. We got about 7 or 8 minutes left. Carolina, you must have lied to me for this. For you not to be a interviewer, you're really, really good.
Oh, really? Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
This has been fun. It's been a great experience. It's probably, I've been, this July will be 4 years in L.A., and this is probably one of those experiences, one of my favorite experiences in these 4 years.
Well, again, I think you might have another career that you're not looking at. But I don't want to interrupt you guys, but there's one thing I do want to say. Actually, there were 2 things I wanted to throw in, and you got it out of him. I wanted to get how people can get in touch with him, the website, and where they can buy his merchandise, because he has some great bags. And also, because this is kind of a political station, I mean... During most wars, artists make statements. Like Jackson Pollock was very visible during World War II, and maybe you could ask him some questions about how he feels about Bush and the war, how it might affect his art. And I'll shut up.
No, yeah. Answer some of those. Where do you stand? How do you feel about war? What is going on in your mind with all of this?
Well, those are good questions, I mean, and I will answer them, but I feel like I could just go on and on forever about that topic. But I'll try to be lucid here. Let me stick to the war. Well, obviously I'm against war, and I don't think that it was a threat, Saddam. And obviously I don't think Bush thought he was a threat either. And I do not think we're over there to liberate those people. I think that was a side effect, but that wasn't why we went over there. And anybody who thinks that is fooling themselves. And I feel it's really, really sad that happened. And I feel like there's, you know, more important issues. And it's just, I don't know. I'm more of a socialist, and that might piss off a lot of my viewers because this is America. But I just think we went over there for capital reasons.
Ching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like we need to focus on our young people over here are homeless, are, you know.
Education.
Right. I think that in any administration, we should focus on the facts, and we don't seem to be focusing on facts. And people are considered rebels if they say, well, you know what, these are the facts, this guy lied about that. You know what I mean? It's just like, what's up? What's going on here? Why isn't anybody asking questions, and why does nobody care? And, you know, look at global warming. It doesn't seem like this administration's concerned. Look at Hurricane Katrina. It's like, everyone needs to just fucking wake up. But that's how I feel about politics.
In this country?
In this country. And I think that if I ever have to speak out or, you know, do some kind of improvement with, you know, like I said about these drugs that I keep talking about because it's important to me about our addiction to all these pharmaceutical medications. And I'm not just talking about Ritalin and antidepressant pills, but everything is, you know, we're going to have to get these Republicans and get these Democrats, get these liberals, get these conservatives all on one side. Because it's not about the parties. It's about, like, what counts.
It's about the people.
Yeah, it's about the facts. And I'm going to have their help in solving these issues, and that's what I want. I want to say, well, no, this is bad for anybody, whether you're an artist, whether you're a banker, whether you're a movie star, whether you're a cashier. We're all going to get fucked here. So let's all, you know, let's not keep slamming names like, oh, he's a liberal or he's a conservative or who cares? And that's a big problem. There's a division in this country.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry if
so,
I ranted.
So, no. We asked you those questions because we wanted to know. And so we're finishing our interview here. Let us know when we can see you next or where we can reach you. Say all that again because it's necessary.
My contact info is 323-660-2711. You can make an order through me personally. I don't have a work phone yet. I should have had that today, but... Well, never mind. That's a whole other issue. I have a website. You can send me mail at 1839 Main Street. That's the Rutland Building. I don't know the zip on that. Los Angeles, California. My website. My webpage is ZackAttack, ZackAttack.com, www. And you got to put exactly the address or you won't get it because it doesn't go up on the search. I have a site on absolutearts.com. The best thing to do is go to my website and there's a link there and there's about 30 of my paintings on there. And then, again, I'm at City Walk every Thursdays, 5 to 9, and I'm at Cosmos and I'm at Anti-Market, a store in Silver Lake. And I think that's all my stores right now. I used to be at a lot more, but that's it.
Great. That's awesome. And for everybody out there, really follow this guy because I have a feeling that he's going to be really big, especially because he takes it really seriously and he puts a lot of hard work into stuff and he's a great guy, period, and a great friend.
And if you guys missed any of those ways to get him on all his websites, you can always contact the radio station here on my shows. I do the two shows. I do a 6 p.m. news every Friday. And I do that. I have a jazz show on Monday night, and Zach is a buddy of mine, so I can always reach Zach. You can email me. You guys all know my email, HassanJ53@Yahoo, Hassan. This was two S's, HassanJ53 HassanJ53@Yahoo, and then I can get you in touch with Zach. Zach, really slow. One more time, your site name.
ZackAttack. ZackAttack. com, ZackAttack.com.
Okay, listen, you guys. I want to thank my buddy Dan for bringing these two people here. Dan's an East Side guy. He's a OG on the East Side of LA, East Side Hollywood.
OG.
Now, wait a minute, you're going to talk in a minute. Hold on, you're going to talk because I want Dan to bring more talented people back to Kill Radio. You guys, you're the kind of people we want here at this station because this is a community station. You guys are community people. Carolina, you work at an art store that a lot of the Kill Radio DJs they go to. Could you plug that again? And
oh yeah, it's Blue Rooster Art Supplies on Vermont. The owner of the store's name is Nick Gallo. The number is 323-661-9471. Anything you guys need, Nick Gallo can order. He orders on Tuesdays. I'm so giving him a shout out. I love this guy.
We'll play this again so he can hear. And yeah. Do you guys have a website at the art store?
Yeah, we do.
You do.
And, of course, I don't know it. What's that all about? Do you have it, Zach?
I might
maybe they can just Google Blue Rooster.
Yeah, Google it and then call 323-661-9471. He can order anything. He's got tons of stuff in there. Great people working there.
It's here in Los Angeles.
Yes, Vermont.
As Zach looks for the card for Blue Rooster. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to hand the mic over to Dan. And Dan's going to, from what I understand, Caroline's a little shy about her art. And Dan's going to ask her some questions.
Oh, no.
And then we're going to wind this show down because I see Xenophone out in the green room and he's getting ready to come on. So, Dan, I'm going to give you guys about 3 minutes.
Yeah, I can't find the card here, but that's okay.
Okay, so go ahead, Dan. Dan, who brought these people together and who's producing this show?
So we're not really going to interview Carolina today because
Carolina
was very busy. We're going to call her Miss Kentucky from now on.
Miss Georgia.
But we're not going to call her Mistress Kentucky because she doesn't like that when we call her Mistress Kentucky because then she has to get her whip out.
That's right. Oh okay.
But the next show, of course, Carolina is invited, and I think it's going to be Zach interviewing or another person interviewing Miss Kentucky, Carolina.
Georgia.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Miss Georgia. Mm-hmm.
She's going to slap you in a second, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So that's what's coming up in the future, maybe a month and a half or a month or something when we get the space back again. And let's see. But she does very interesting drawings, and I think not exactly like Zach's stuff, but
that ain't close.
Big-headed stuff, like with characters with large features.
Large, yeah.
Your last show was at Creative Grounds, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Creative Grounds with you was called Opposites Attract, and it was rather interesting.
Well, Dan,
wrap it all up.
Yeah, I want to thank you, Dan, for bringing these two talented people in here, and we're going to get together and down a fifth of Jack Daniels tonight like we always do, me and you.
I don't remember that part, but maybe I don't remember because of the last time we did the Jack Daniels.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, Dan's one of my late night hanging out buddies here in the neighborhood. And again, thanks, Zach, in Carolina. Did I say that right?
No, it's Carolina. But it's okay. I was raised in the South. Trust me. Mm-hmm. No problem.
And you guys are always welcome here in the Kill Radio Studios. Actually, we have this place for talented people like you. You know, we're trying to do more community things. And I'm going to, I'm going to bring up some beautiful Latin music as Zach and Sophia head out into the cold Los Angeles night. And again, Sophia, if you could hand us over your mic.
The London fog is going to take us over.
Here you go.
Carolina, exactly.
Presente, esperando en represente, baja por las noches, me arrullacho inconsciente en mi vientre, los segundos pasados, cargados, tatuados en mi espalda, empapados, aunados a espasmos de llanto y de risa, he andado sin pausa, sin prisa, así de lento el momento, y no termina así de lento, cruzando entre las espinas. Dime qué se siente, dime qué se siente, dime qué se siente, el sudor en la frente, dime qué se siente, dime si presientes, dime qué se siente, el sudor.